We are here in the city of Brno, the Czech Republic, with two young professionals talking about the issue of our time, climate change. Ondráš Přibyla and Kristýna Zákopčanová are behind a non-profit and awareness-raising project called Facts on Climate. Kristýna is a data designer and journalist and also a PhD student at Masaryk University in Brno. Ondráš is a physicist by education and lecturer on nonviolent communication by profession. I'm Michal Broza from the United Nations Information Center, UNIC Prague. Welcome.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Kristýna, how engaged are young people in the whole idea of taking climate action? Are they getting more and more interested in the issue from your experience?
What I can see around me, in my peers and friends, I think we are engaged a lot, but quite often we are not sure what to do. So I can see people being interested, trying to read some articles or get some more information, but then we don't know what to do with that.
Why did you start the project? There is a huge amount of information freely available on the internet about climate change. So why focus on climate change facts, Ondráš?
I think these are three questions in one. So I will start with the question why we started the project. First, we saw a problem. We saw that we can help. And then we realized that it's much bigger than we thought at the first place. When I say we, I mean peers, friends from the bubble of social bubble of open source software. These people are programmers. They are used to think about problems. They are used to solve problems. And usually when they see an error or a mistake in a code, they come with initiative and correct the mistake. And so when we realized that the journalists in Czech Republic do not have a reliable source of visualization data, and it's actually very complicated to study the IPCC reports. So if the journalists don't have ready to use visualization of data or some kind of curated data source, they will not write about the climate change as a fact-based or evidence-based subject. They will just write about Greta Thunberg and opinions from different sides because it's easier to represent opinions. So the problems we saw, if there is no good, reliable resource in Czech language, localized, then the journalists will not write in a constructive way about the subject, and the whole public discussion about climate change will be mostly about opinions, not about data. When we have the group of programmers and we saw this problem, the easiest thing to do is let's make a website. Hackathons are the way we organize our work. So we organized a hackathon, which is working sprint. We met for a few hours and did some work and then realized we need to repeat it and we started to do the thing then. So that was the history.
Who is actually in the team and why, Kristýna, why did you decide to volunteer? You're a professional in data visualization. Before being invited to join the group, did you think, about, the issue of climate change, or was it rather, the opportunity presented to you from, your friends?
I think I'm on a team because I was very lucky that friend of mine organized the event. And for years before that, I felt, wow, okay, there's this climate change happening. I really don't understand all the information around it, but I have this strong feeling I should do something about it. So then once this friend came by and said, hey, we are organizing this hackathon, I thought, yes, I can help, and I can help with something I know professionally. So for me, it was like perfect match. And I just came on the first hackathon and immediately knew, okay, this is the project I need to be on. Because as I mentioned in the first question, like we feel this urge to do something about the climate, but we don't know what. At that point, I had the weapon maybe, or I knew what's the next step. So that's personally for me. I can't talk for the rest of the team, but I know that there are like people who have very similar stories as me, that they felt like kind of very happy and useful that they can suddenly use some of their professional knowledge in order to help this project. So that's why we are also willing to do it after work on a volunteer basis, because for me, it doesn't mean I need to study tons of new materials. I just use skills I already have. So there's also this like low threshold for entering and helping.
I think this is really true for everybody in the team, that once you see the step you can do, you just do it.
And that's what why I think it's really important to look for ways how to help not only young people, but people who want to help, to let them know what they can do.
Facts on climate change visualizes science-based data. How you go about it and how do you communicate it to your target audiences, Ondraš?
I think we do more than one role in this area. One role is the visualization, and Kristina can tell you more about this sense-making thing that is before we make a visual, before we make a graphic. The other thing is that we are creating something that I could call a curated content. So you said in the previous question that internet is full of some data, some articles. But if you are new to the topic, it's hard to understand where to start from. What are the relevant facts and what are just the details? So what we are doing is not just visualization, but we are trying to make curated content in Czech, which is important here. In a localized language, so that people can understand the basics, the framework, so that they can, for example, see the proportions of emissions from different sectors and see that energy and electricity generation in Czech Republic is the leverage point. So this is one part, and the other part is, how do we get from data to visualization? And this is a question for Kristina.
Kristina.
So that's like an interesting thing about doing data visualization. But because what you see is an image and you're like, oh yeah, that's an image. It's easy to do. But what follows before that is that we like look at the data and start asking questions. What is relevant? What does the audience know? What should they know? So what's there? So whether so if you are, for example, a public who knows a little bit about the climate change, knows it's a problem, we just can't throw at you science-based data and all the terms you don't understand. So we kind of what we try to do is to build this kind of mental bridge between the scientists and the audience, the public, and make the information available for them. That means using language that they understand, explaining things, and also focusing just on the essence. Because if scientists talk about climate change, they can talk about a lot of details. But what do I as public need to know about it is much less. It's just like the pure line, the essence, and that's what I'm focusing on in the visualizations. So that's the content. And once we know the content and we know what's the story, what's the message we need to tell, I start to focusing on how I can design it visually, meaning what colors to use, how people what colors people associate with what topics, or what information they will see first, and then we do this data visualization design itself.
As I try to imagine this, I mean, what's the process behind creating the graphics? It's like empathy and data together, because we are always like changing sides. We first step into the shoes of scientists and think, okay, so what are the important things from the scientist point of view? Then we just, you know, switch and step into the shoes of general public or a city mayor or a business decision maker. And we try to think, so what are the important issues? What are the important questions? What is their point of view? So this is the empathy part. And then we have the data and we often see, okay, this is important question, but we can't answer it with these numbers. So how it combines all these areas, asking questions, trying to step into shoes of the other and data.
Says Ondraš Přibyla, founder of a project Facts on Climate in the Czech Republic. You were awarded the 2020 Climate Communication Prize here in the Czech Republic. What are the main challenges you faced in talking about climate change to different audiences?
We can look at this from many sides, but I think from my point of view, I would stress complexity of the topic and some kind of branding from what role I speak to the other. Complexity of the topic is obvious. I mean, you look at the IPCC report, it has hundreds of pages. You can't read through it. So always when we are talking to journalists, we are helping them make the articles they write. We always struggle with the issue that it would be rather for a book than for a newspaper article. It's always much more details to say, much more relations to explain. And so what we need to do is to simplify the matter without making it untruth. So this is the challenge. It's kind of sense making when we provide enough information, data, and explanation so that you can get a picture and decide the action you want to do, but without overloading you with the information. And the other issue is people somehow tend to feel part of tribes. And some people would like to get the message from activists. Some people would like to get the message from business people. Some people would like to get the message from scientists. And I think when I talk to somebody, I always need to think about the relationship, what we have, the things we have in common, so that we can build the bridge between the data, the knowledge, and possibly the next actions we need to take, and the personal word of the person. Does it make sense?
Yeah, and I would like to say I find it really refreshing that we are not coming from the position of activists, or we don't have our own agenda, but we just want to provide information that's understandable and relevant and let people discuss that, let people take decision based on it.
So I think we do have an agenda. The agenda is not pro-green or anti-green. The agenda is pro-evidence. We want the decisions to be made wisely with the evidence at the hand.
Your latest project has been producing podcasts on climate change. Who is the target audience, and why do you think podcasting is an effective way of reaching young people, Christina?
I will maybe start with the question why it's effective. I think it's still the same problem. There's so much information that's complex. Even if we provide information on our website, it's still too much. And audio these days is a really effective media to communicate things. So I can just go to the store and listen to some podcast. So it's become really popular. And also it kind of creates some interesting constraints, because you suddenly have to think about the audience again, and you just can't write like tens of pages about a topic. You want to curate it again in a way that people understand it just by listening to it. So I think it also, yet again, forces us to look for the essence, communicate the essence, and make the information like quickly available and understandable.
András, are you optimistic in what you do and what you've already experienced about the kind of difference young people can make about this issue? Do you think that governments, not only in your country, but generally, will listen to young people?
I'm trying to imagine a future. And all the possible futures I imagine, there is no other way than to start taking initiative, start taking action. Just do what I can do and do the things where I'm most efficient in doing them. So I think it's not just issue for young people, and it's not just issue of governments. We just need to look and see clearly what is necessary to do and do it. We saw steps we can do, so we started using our skills and creating a website project.
Christina, how do you see this?
Well, first of all, I think if we weren't optimistic, we wouldn't be doing the work. So I do feel optimistic about it. And I, as a proof that it's not just me, I can see that we are growing as the project. We have more and more people working on it. So, and as Andra said, I feel there is no other way. We just have to find a way. And of course, it's a complex topic, but we are trying to find a way to make it effective, to make governments listen and to end up solving the issue.
Thank you. Thank you, Kristýna Zákopčanová. Thank you, Ondráš Přibyla. I'm Michal Broza from UNIC Prague. And thank you for listening.